As August melts into September, or sloshes as it did this year, the late afternoon migration of common nighthawks over my neighborhood ebbs away. When we first moved to Duluth in 1981, nighthawk migration along the north shore of Lake Superior, flowing right over my neighborhood, was magically impressive and predictable. Walking with my boys the few blocks from our house to Lakeside Presbyterian Church for Cub Scout meetings, we'd count hundreds or even thousands of nighthawks in the sky above us, even as houses and neighborhood trees blocked our view in most directions. We still get days with counts of well over 1,000, sometimes into five figures, but those big days are far fewer and the maximum counts much smaller than decades ago. Sad as declining numbers are, we still do get to enjoy nighthawk flights from mid-August through the first or second week in September. On days when dragonflies float in the air everywhere, nighthawks about to embark on a flight start hunting voraciously by mid-afternoon. As afternoon proceeds into early evening, those feeding flocks start rising in the sky, still feeding but now starting to take on a more directional flight. By the time they can't see well enough to catch many insects in the night sky, they're up high enough to cover greater distances in a night flight. On August 21st, I received an email from a listener named Will who wrote, "Over the weekend, my wife and I were sitting on the patio at our house in Mattawa watching the common nighthawk migration. It's an event we certainly enjoy and use it to mark the passing of another summer. This year, we noticed that it was difficult to see many birds that were flying higher in the sky because the smoke from the Canadian wildfires seemed to reflect the sunlight and make it too bright for good viewing. We also noticed that many of the birds were flying lower than what we've observed in the past. That got us to thinking, how do these historic fires impact migrants? Surely when the sky is obscured by smoke and habitat is on fire, this must have some impact and seems like another way in which we humans are creating additional struggles for already struggling populations of wild birds." Thanks to Will, I started researching this interesting question. Obviously, summer fires kill any nestlings or chicks that can't fly out of harm's way. Most conservation biologists, looking at populations rather than individuals, minimize the importance of this because fire has always been important in habitat cycles, and species living in fire-prone areas have evolved to deal with fire. But as fire seasons start earlier and earlier in summer with climate change, the implications for bird reproduction need to be taken more into account. And as fires cover more and more areas year after year, again due to climate change, habitat losses do become important too. Nighthawks often nest in tracts that have been burned over the previous year, but repeated fires make this increasingly difficult. The flames themselves are not the only danger to birds. On several days in August here in Duluth, the sky was hazy and we could actually smell smoke from fires a couple of thousand miles away in British Columbia. And smoke from California fires made it all the way to the East Coast this summer. At such a distance, this smoke was detectable, but not nearly as dangerous as smoke closer to the fire. Air quality in Seattle on some days this summer was worse than in the most polluted cities in China. That air quality obviously impacted wild birds, with no escape into the more filtered atmosphere of air-conditioned buildings. Olivia Sanderfoot, a National Science Foundation graduate research fellow at the University of Washington, Seattle, is studying how air pollution affects birds. She was quoted in an article for Audubon last year. "We do know that exposure to particulate matter, which of course is of great concern for human health, can affect birds as well." She noted that veterinarians and poultry scientists who study captive birds have found that smoke can damage lung tissue and leave the birds susceptible to potentially lethal respiratory infections. But how that plays out in the wild is largely unknown. Sanderfoot's current research aims to track changes in bird populations and diversity after exposure to smoke from large wildfires. Thick smoke may have contributed to the deaths of 50 adult white ibises during a 1999 fire in the Everglades, as she reported in a recent paper. And some low-flying species might succumb to smoke inhalation or exhaustion before they can escape forest fires, according to the Alberta Institute for Wildlife Conservation. Tracking nighthawks is way trickier than tracking flocks of larger colonial species. It'll be many, many years, if ever, before we can accurately tease out the ways fire specifically affects nighthawks. But this splendid bird, already facing so many problems thanks to us humans, now is almost certainly facing ever worse problems thanks to climate change. Attention must be paid. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.